Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Draft week in the sports bar. Looking forward to Thursday. Looking forward to this weekend. See what comes out of it for the Buffalo Bills. And we'll talk plenty of NFL draft with our next guest, 13 Wham Sports Director and BuffaloPlus.com's Mike Catalana, stopping by the sports bar. Mike, before we get into the deep into the weeds here with the Bills, their needs, and what they might do come this weekend, we got to talk about this story out of Buffalo with the Pegulas putting up 25%, up to 25% or more, around 25% of the Buffalo Bills. What do you think this is all about?
You know, I wish I could do that. I wish I could. It's basically a home equity loan. You don't have to pay back. Mm-hmm. And then when your house is worth more, you just sell it and they get a little piece of it and you get more. Well, right now they're looking into it. They don't have it done yet. They haven't. Obviously, they don't have minority, you know, owners. But I think you're going to see more and more of this in the NFL. If I was the Pegulas, I'd be doing it. They're on the hook for the extra money on the stadium overruns. I think they know it's going to happen. And maybe it is somebody who comes in at this point and eventually, depending on what happens with the Pegula family, if it's somebody who wants to buy the team, that it's an easier transition. Doesn't surprise me. And look at the value of the franchise. What are they saying now? The Bills could be up to like $4 billion and they bought them for 1.35 or whatever it ended up being. The money is silly money. And now they can basically, I mean, think about what they can do. They can get somebody to give them close to $1 billion for 25% of the team, maintain control, take care of all their cost overruns, and maybe it's at some point a future owner of the team. So it doesn't surprise me. Like I said, the whole ownership model could be changing eventually in the NFL as the prices keep going up and up. But it really doesn't surprise me that they're looking to do this.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Pegula's looking maybe to get a little more liquid here, as they say, Mike, because we did have the report from Tim Graham after there were some things online saying, oh my gosh, everything's for sale. And okay, he said no, but if somebody wanted the Nighthawks, they could have the Nighthawks. How would you kind of take this here for the future of the Nighthawks in Rochester, Mike?
It's kind of a strange situation. I mean, they sort of did it. I think Tim alluded to this in his article as sort of a favor to the league. I mean, they already own the Bandits, and it's an odd circumstance. You know, you've seen where they're not going to be running the Blue Cross Arena anymore. Honestly, in the big picture for the Pegulas, not disrespectful to the Nighthawks, but they are pretty far down the list for them. So, you know, if the franchise was going to stay in Rochester and get an owner for here, that would be great. We don't know what the future is going to be for the franchise. Obviously, they just clinched a playoff spot and love to see them do well this year. But I think it does put the franchise's future pretty much in jeopardy, at least in Rochester, with you know, obviously a potential change in ownership and maybe a change in location.
Would there, I mean, look, we're going to go deeper down the rabbit hole than we probably can here, but I just think to lose that organization again, I would hate to see it, especially given what they've been able to build here from their expansion days. In order to keep it in Rochester, is it a prerequisite that you have to have somebody in our area who has a bond with this team or just a bond with Rochester? Because when the Pegulas bought this team, it sure felt like and sounded like they were doing this almost out of charity.
Yeah. I don't know if you necessarily have to have somebody from here because you have an arena to play in, you have a fan base, you have a history with the franchise. If somebody wants to get into the league, there's worse places you can be than Rochester with the Nighthawks, right? So I don't know. Honestly, I think there's reason to be concerned based on the things I've heard about their future. But I don't think necessarily it has to be a local owner to do it because it's a viable place to have an NL franchise or to have the Nighthawks as a franchise. And we'll just see where it goes from here. But in terms of, I mean, look, when you're the Pegulas, and you're building a stadium, you have the Bills. Right now you have the Sabres and the Amherst. I just think, and already having the Bandits, I think it just, the priority just drops when it comes to the Nighthawks.
We're talking to 13 Wham's Mike Catalana. As Mike, we've read the mocks, we've done the mocks, we've kind of absorbed everything. What's the likelihood that Brandon Bean actually may get a receiver and just sit there and let the draft, as they say, come to him at 28?
His history shows he's not sitting there. I just don't think he is. I think if he's got somebody in his mind, he's got to work out a deal to move up. I like him trying to get Brian Thomas. I think he'd be a great fit for them. You know, it's easy to say sit there and wait and then take the guy. But look, I was up there the other day when he said, we don't have a glaring hole at wide receiver.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah. I mean, come on. Who are we kidding?
Yeah.
I mean, look at who they have right now. I mean, okay, I like Curtis Samuel as a player. I think he'll be better with a very good quarterback. Doesn't mean he's going to be a star, but he'll be better. I think he can do a lot of things. Khalil Shakir has become a solid player that you hope has a bigger future. But we sat and waited for Gabe Davis to be that guy to move up the ranks, and he never did. And that doesn't mean Shakir's not going to move up. I'm saying is he hasn't been put in that position. Who else do you have? Who do you have? Mac Hollins? Like, there's no one there. I mean, there just isn't. So they are in desperate need. I think they need to draft at least one, if not two, and maybe sign another veteran. I mean, they are. Let me ask you guys this. Where are they right now in terms of wide receiver rooms? And I know everybody loves Kincaid as a tight end, and I think he can be really good.
Yeah.
But strictly wide receiver? I think they're certainly bottom third in the NFL,
no
without
question.
Any question, right?
Yeah. I think, though, here's the counterpoint to that, and I'm not saying that I think they're not going to go wide receiver in the first round. It feels like that's what they would do, and it feels like Brandon Bean would be aggressive and go up and get it. That's what history has shown. But he did invest a first-rounder in a pass catcher last year in Dalton Kincaid, and you could look at that wide receiver room. You could also look at your pass rushers and your edge rushers and say, yeah, we have a pretty glaring need here as well, unless we really think that AJ Epineza is going to become this like constant, or we're going to get something out of Von Miller at this stage of his career. Is there a case to be made for taking a beast of a pass rusher that might be available to you there in round one?
Yeah. Well, look, I guess there's a case to be made if you believe you can do something in the second round at wide receiver. But what I'm saying is, look, you can say this. You have Greg Rousseau. You have Ed Oliver in the middle. You do have AJ Epinesa, who has at least been a decent player for him. And their hope is that, it's a big hope, but that Von Miller comes back to some level. Plus, I think you're back on the veteran train looking for another player. It always happens after the draft. Teams either decide to move on from players, their players become free agents on the defensive line. Someone will be out there. I think at wide receiver, it's glaring. And if you're sitting there, say you pick, let's just say you take, you know, Chop Robinson, I don't know, whoever you want to say as your defensive end, because you need one. Well, it's also admitting, we've talked about this, the amount of resources that Bean has used at defensive end is almost alarming that you're still in that spot looking for one in this draft. And maybe you take one, you know, later. But are you waiting until 60? like to get a wide receiver. And it's easy to say, oh, the draft is deep. It's not that deep. I mean, you are, honestly, we always try to label the wide receivers as the one, two, and the three. And sometimes it's pretty easy to figure that out. You need a one and maybe a two with this roster. The way I look at it is you're either hoping Curtis Samuel advances or Shakir advances. But, like, you know, you look at it, Curtis Samuel has more catches than the rest of the wide receiver room put together. And Curtis Samuel isn't even among the top 50 active players in catches or yards. So, you know, Stephon Diggs had 160 targets. Everybody likes to rip on Diggs now because he's gone. But, I mean, if Stephon Diggs was coming to the Bills now, he's obviously still your unquestioned number one receiver, at least for this year. So I think there's a need at defensive end, but, man, there is a much bigger need at the moment to wide receiver.
Mike Cannella, 13 Wham, Buffalo Plus is our guest. I know one guy who might want a wide receiver, and coming from the media talks last Thursday, Mike, I had never heard the story that Josh Allen had actually texted Brandon Bean and said, hey, Kincaid's the guy I want, and ends up with Kincaid. And I kind of like that, Mike. I mean, that to me is also a storyline here that Josh Allen, how much more can he take? Can he be as a leader on this team and be a little more assertive? And if he's going to, you know, Texas GM, you know, on draft night, take this or that wide receiver, I'm totally fine with that.
I think the way that worked out is Bean said, this is a guy we're interested in. He looked at some Dalton Kincaid and then said, Dalton Kincaid's the guy to pick. I mean, he even admitted, like, hey, you know, he's not sitting in meetings with guys and running through what they know about the offense and all. Josh is going to have an opinion. But to your point of wanting help, I mean, come on. This is why I asked Bean at the news conference, what was Josh's reaction? You know, you can say what you want that Josh isn't in on all these receivers and knows exactly what they're like. But he certainly knew what Diggs was like. And Bean's answer to me was, I'm going to keep that between me and Josh. I don't think he was pounding the table saying you got to keep Diggs. But there's one thing to say in March, we're trading Stephon Diggs. Okay, good. He's out. We're going to change. But that's with the presumption that you're going to fix it. You're going to add players. And I think hopefully the conversations with Josh Allen were about the plan to fix it and to be aggressive in getting help for him at the wide receiver position. So, yes, I think he has some ideas, but I think I think Allen is going to have the confidence that Bean's going to do what he told him. He doesn't have to run it by Josh and say, do you care if we do this? But I think when he tells him we're trading Diggs, he also tells him we have a plan to go get you help. And that's what I think he's going to expect him to do.
And Mike, with what we heard from Allen last week, the first time we heard from him since the Diggs trade, do you get the sense like I do that now with Diggs no longer in the locker room, that this is Josh Allen's the alpha, he's the leader, he's the vocal guy? And with that, do you think we'll see, and maybe it's not in his character, but man, I wish I would just, the word I use is mattable. I just want to see Josh Allen maybe get a little mattable, not the antics that we saw with Diggs, but just a little bit more in guys' faces when they clearly screw something up.
I love that you said that. And I used to think, like, Josh is an alpha, but he's not that alpha. He's not even, not the Tom Brady alpha or Aaron Rodgers alpha. You know, that kind of guy who's yelling at guys, and maybe even not Rodgers as much, but sort of has that vibe to him. But for whatever reason, I always felt like Allen wanted to make Diggs happy. Allen wanted Diggs' approval. I know that sounds like I'm psychoanalyzing, but I'm just talking about just the way they played and 160 targets or whatever it was last year. Like, we're going to keep, and I do think this frees Josh up. Now, it's great to be freed up, but you still need guys that'll make plays. It's nice to say, okay, we're moving on from Diggs and it's going to be different. But to your point, I also want to seem on the guy on the sidelines when he runs the wrong route or in practice or wherever it is. Like, they need to be accountable to him. Well, he doesn't have to be an ass to do this, but the players need to be accountable to him. And I think there's an element of Josh that's going to come out this year. I hope that's what it is. I hope that they're a little afraid of him. right? They're a little like, I let my guy down. You mean saying it afterward is one thing, not letting it happen again. Look at how many times Gabe Davis and he were on the wrong page.
Right.
It's ridiculous for a guy that had been around that long. They were saying, Josh, my guy. Well, if he is your guy, run the right route. Make the right play. So, yes, I want to see that. I said, I want to see Josh be, doesn't have to be like yelling and screaming as a leader, but let him know who the boss is. And I think with the right guys in there, they walk into the room now going, I'm playing with Josh freaking Allen, and I'm not going to let him down. And that's what I want to see. I want to see him demand that from his players in whatever way he's comfortable doing that.
Mike, could you talk yourself into thinking that any of these guys that we've been, you know, kind of looking at, that any one of them would actually be a fit in this Bills offense, kind of taking it from the standpoint that it's actually the quarterback that makes the wide receiver? Like, what are your thoughts on these guys?
I don't buy all that.
No?
I don't buy that it's always the quarterback that makes. Listen, you got certain routes to run. They do not have a guy to stand on the outside and pressure the defense. They just don't. They don't have – that's not Curtis Samuel's way to play. They don't have that guy. Who is the outside – who is that guy, the boundary receiver? They don't have him. He needs that. Josh needs that. It's great that Kincaid catches the ball. It's great that Curtis Samuel can do different things. It's great that every time you seem to throw the ball to Shakir, he catches it. But you need that guy. Somebody's got to play that role for you. And I'm not saying Josh can't make them better, because he will get the ball to people. But there's a point where, like, you know, it's like having guys around a LeBron James. But you need guys that make shots. Like, he does need guys that will do as well as he can play. He needs guys that'll do it. So I don't think just anybody. Like, I look at a guy like Worthy from Texas, speedster, can fly. Great to have a guy like that on the team, but I don't know if that's the right fit for them. Or Ladd McConkey. I think he's going to be a really good player in the league, but I don't know if he's what you need based on the current room. Now, look, if you're drafting in the first round, you got to draft the best possible guy, but that's why I keep going back. Hey, listen, if I had it my way, Dangerous Bears would be trading the ninth pick to the Bills.
Be great for the Bills.
Adunze would be coming to Buffalo. Because I think he would be perfect for Allen in this offense.
Agreed.
So 100%. can you work on that? I got polls. We can call polls.
Let's call them together. I mean, he needs draft picks. Let's face it. He needs some picks. But, Bills
by
have
the
plenty.
Way, do they need draft picks? Because I was thinking of it. They don't have the later picks. This draft is considered not the deepest once you get to the fourth, fifth round, just by the way, the type of player who's come out. If I'm the Bears, I don't know. I mean, it's not they need players, but there's a lot of people around the league that think it's not that big a difference between maybe guys you get in the sixth and seventh round that you would have gotten as free agents. So we'll see. But I think the hard thing is you're at 28. You're at 28. I think one thing you can dangle in front of people is either next year's one or even that Minnesota pick that they got for Diggs. In the second round, that's going to be a pretty valuable pick that they could deal for next year. I think there's maybe more value there. 28 is just not a great spot to be at. But yeah, if you ask me, my guy I want, honestly, I think I would take him over Neighbors for the Bills. I think Harrison's going to be great. But I mean, the other option is to try to trade with either Cincinnati or San Francisco for either Higgins or Ayuk. I don't know if any of that will come to play, you know, in the draft, but Adunze would be the guy I would want, but I don't know if they can get him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mike, what from what we heard from Brandon Bean and what we've heard really since Bean and McDermott kind of took over this franchise, do they still have a type? We've always heard separation guy. You're talking about guy, you know, needing a guy on the boundary, a guy on the outside who can kind of do it all. And Bean talked a little bit about that last week in terms of what they're going to be looking for, what they are looking for in a wide receiver. Is it strictly about the ability to separate? Is it about the size and the ability to go up and get it, or is it a combination of all of it? And that's the guy that you get to replace a talent, a star like Steph Diggs.
Yeah. I think when you leave yourself as vulnerable as they are right now, I do think there's a certain part that there is to me. It's a glaring need. It's not necessarily always size. You know, it's funny because Bean's talked about it, other guys have talked about it. You know, you have a guy like Steve Smith was 5'9", 5'10", and played like he was 6'4", right? It's just, there's just players like that. But I think it's the traits that a player has. And I think, I mean, there is certain physical traits. Now, listen, they also need the guy to be able to handle the playbook, understand it, be able to step in and play. Doesn't mean they're going to be perfect right away, but be able to do that. So I think that always comes into play. But right now, I do think, like I said, I think it's a glaring need for that type of player on the outside. And I think in terms of the wide receivers, I think that's what they would prioritize is a size player that can play on the outside. And I, you know, again, 6 feet, 6'1", 6'2", you know, just get it, Dunze here. That's all we need. That's all we need.
Mike, you did have the report, first the report about the training camp. We're still waiting on the official word on that. There was also this story from last week that the PGA Championship, because we call like, hey, that was really fun, we want to have another one here in Rochester. They awarded one for 2031.
Yeah.
Where, you've got contacts over there at Oak Hill. I mean, is are we still in line if, you know, the Oak Hill wants it to get another PGA Championship in 2033?
Yeah, I mean, this one was just taken care of for 31. I will tell you this, from what I was told, too, like the negotiations between the PGA of America and Oak Hill and in turn Rochester, Monroe County, have changed a bit in general, just the way these tournaments have gone, the size of the tournaments, the footprint, what they want, what they expect. I think in the past, to be quite honest, I think more the PGA would pick the club, they'd make a deal and then come in. I think it's going to be different now. I think they hold the keys here a little bit. I think they go to a town or a community and a country club and say, what can you do for us? And so I think those conversations will continue. Look, it would make sense for 33, right? You had 03, 13, 23, 33. They have the U.S. Amateur coming in 27. That's not a PGA of America event. That's USGA, which is the U.S. Open track. And I don't know if Rochester has any shot of that at Oak Hill. I still think it's on the table, but keeping in mind that they are, you know, they've just now given the 31 to a country club and to a town, that there's a little bit of time before they're, you know, where they feel the need to make a move quickly. And Oak Hill is built for that tournament. I mean, they did all that work, phenomenal changes. So I think Oak Hill would be ready. I think people there are very hopeful, but, you know, you'll see. They're at Valhalla coming up in May. We'll see. But I'm still pretty hopeful that Oak Hill will get it to come back one more time.
Mike, quick check on your Sixers for tonight. Down 0-1 to the Knicks. How's Embiid feeling? What are we hearing?
He was at the shoot-around today. Look, honestly, when I saw him go down the other day, I saw more fear than injury in him. Because I think he's sitting down there going, did I just do this again? And then he comes off and then he, you know, got it checked out and he came back out. Look, he's, he's playing through the recovery from knee surgery. And he was dominant for the first half, and he did not play as well in the second half. In the third quarter did, not in the fourth. He's not 100%. Now, Maxey missed the shoot around today with illness. Not ideal. I think he'll play, unless he's really, really sick. I think he'll play. I think the Knicks are not a great matchup for them, but they could have, if not should have, won the game the other night. Knicks hit some big shots down the stretch. They run a bunch of guys, and they crash the boards. If the Sixers can do a decent job on the boards, they certainly can win. But the Knicks are tough. Yeah. They're a tough team. They're well coached. They play hard. And, you know, the guys made shots down the stretch. I mean, so that made it tough the other night. So we'll see tonight. Obviously, it's a huge game. I had said last week I thought this series was going to end up being 2-2 after the four games. If I was guessing, I thought lose game one, win game two, win game three, lose game four, and go back to the Garden 2-2. So I'll stick with that's what it'll end up being. But heck of a series, and we'll see what happens tonight.
Mike, last one for me, and it's about the Amerks. Certainly a lot of people are going to be excited about this, and it was good to see that big crowd on Friday. Yes. We had Dan Fates on last week. I'll ask you the same question I asked him. What do you think is this year's Amerks roster actually better than last year's, the one that made it all the way to the semifinal?
You know, it could be. Remember, they didn't get off to the best start, and then they got going. You just never know, right? Like Syracuse did not look good down the stretch. The Amerks played really well, but you never know what happens in a playoff series. And these five-game series, well, in their case, it was down and then back, and they won it. I just think the way Appert coaches this team, the way they respond, the way Levi is playing, I think they're going to be a tough out for anybody. And you know, you saw how bunched up the division was. So it you could still be really good and get knocked out. I mean, it could have happened last year. But, you know, it's funny how we went from the point of saying, oh, God, could they just win a series? Could they do something? Now it's getting to be almost like the old days where we expect it because they've done it. And I like the talent. I like the roster. I like the mix of players. And right now I like the goaltending. And so this would be fun to see. You know, we've seen Ryan Miller do it. We've seen Marty Baron do it. Let's see a goalie get a chance to make a little run, show what he can do in a playoff series when it's all on your back. And, you know, I think the team 2 years ago with goaltending could have gone pretty far too. So, you know, it's funny. I have faith in the culture that they've built there, that they're going to do well. But, you know, it's hard to predict sometimes when the teams are as tight as they were in the North Division this year.
Mike, what are we expecting here this week with your draft coverage at 13 Web Sports and, of course, BuffaloPlus.com?
Yeah, we're going right in now to record our latest podcast. One of the things we're talking about for the YouTube channel is what we want the Bills to do, what we think they'll do. And then we're going to talk a little bit about in terms of where they are roster-wise now, you know, some of the stuff we just talked about. And we're also going to, this massive deal that just happened with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I know.
That quarterback room. I mean, think about that quarterback room with Jared Stidham, Ben DiNucci, and Zach Wilson. I mean,
yeah.
How do you pick a starter out of that
group? Don't worry, Mike. They got brand new uniforms to distract the fans about how bad they are.
Seriously. I mean, listen, I get the idea of the uniforms. You want to put them out there, but like, I mean, come on, you bring in, that is a poorly run organization. Pay a fortune for a coach, pay a fortune for a quarterback before you get the coach. He doesn't like the quarterback. Get rid of him, pay millions of dollars. You have nobody. If ever a team should be tanking on a year, it's probably the Broncos, but who knows what they'll do. They're sitting there at 12, which honestly, if they were smart, maybe they're trading back and trying to get some extra picks if they're not going to take a quarterback. But so maybe that's a target for the Bills. But yes, that's what we'll be talking about. And we'll have coverage all week long. And then the night, you know, after each round of the draft, and it'll all be on the YouTube channel for Buffalo Plus.
Sounds good, Mike. It's good to not be talking baseball with you. We'll catch up after the draft.
This is a new Gene Battaglia here.
So it's nice for you now. What have you Have you bought any extra, you know, jerseys or put up some little pennants, or do you have a little helmet? Like, you must be really excited that they won a few games.
Mike, it's April 22nd. It's April 22nd. I'm telling you, you don't believe me. Danger doesn't believe me. This is the new me.
It's bad for the show. I don't like it.
So what's the new you, that you're just realistic to know it'll fall apart?
No, everything will go fine. I'm just going to savor it more when it happens. I'm just keeping my mouth shut is going to be my new MO. Because well, I think about how I harmed our relationship when I got off the rails time.
You enhanced it. You enhanced it. And by the way, we are the ones savoring this, because while you say this, we know you're sitting there going, oh my God, we won six in a row. Look at it. And by the way, isn't it funny? You won six in a row and didn't gain any ground on the other two teams, which is hilarious. But yeah, Phillies haven't even started hitting yet, and their pitching has been so dominant. But, you know, it's April, you know.
Yeah.
We get excited in September and October. You know, that baseball still goes on in those months.
Mike, I'm going to be the same kind of level-headed person May, June, July, August. You're not going to see me get all giddy. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, fellas.
Appreciate you, buddy. Mike Catalana, 13 Web Sports, BuffaloPlus.com. I'm proud of you, Gino. You haven't cracked. Everybody's egging you on, myself included. You're even keeled. Something's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be.
They gave up 10 runs to the Dodgers yesterday.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Something will happen. But the Dodgers, by the way, getting kind of a weird start for them, for as much hype was around that team. But it is April.
The story, too. I should pass this on real quick. And I know we're late here, Danger. But the Yankees lost to Oakland 2-0. I sent you this video of Aaron Boone getting tossed. A fan in the... You know, you could tell by Boone's reaction. He gets tossed. He has no idea. Wendell Statt, the umpire, throwing Boone out for what a fan said, thinking it was Boone actually yelling at him, but it was actually a fan. And, well, kind of your latest in the ump show.
Oh, boy. Was it Angel? It wasn't Angel Hernandez.
No, this was Wendell Statt.
Oh, Wendell Statt. All right. We'll take a break and come back. We've got some takes on tap with Aldrin to that. We'll talk some more NFL draft with our buddy Chris Trapasso. He's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Your phone calls always welcome at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.